It's not our efforts and that's not our abilities that clean us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleans us. And then once we're clean, we can live clean by his power and by his strength. How many of you grew up watching monster movies? Anybody? Okay, now I'm not talking about the stuff they have nowadays with the blood and guts and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking like Godzilla versus Rodan and all those kind of things, all right? Godzilla versus the world. I mean, just about every kind of monster Godzilla took on. But there was one particular monster movie that I saw that stuck with me for 46 years. Matter of fact, it affected me so bad that I couldn't even go into the woods for a long time after watching this monster movie. I don't remember the name of it, and I don't remember exactly what the plot was, but all I remember was outside this little village were bushes, and bushes were about 6 or 7 foot tall, and they looked very calm and very tame. But every time somebody would get near one of those bushes, that bush would grab them and bring them and shake a little bit and bones would come spitting out. 5 years old, I saw that movie. And so needless to say, every time I went into the woods and every time I went in any kind of outdoor, I stayed away from bushes. Because those monsters were crawling in my mind. All I could see was that bush grabbing me, eating me, and spitting my bones out. Now we laugh and we find it humorous that a 5-year-old would be scared of that. I can understand that because, you know what, I find it humorous now, but I still remember vividly. It was black and white too, if I remember right. The bones being spit out of that bush. That monster crawls in my mind still even today. This morning, several of us have a monster crawling in our mind. It may not be that one that's taking your body and eating it and spitting out the bones, but you've got a monster called worry going through your minds. You're worried about tomorrow, next week, next year. Maybe perhaps you're worried about a paycheck, you're worried about a family member, you're worried about a friend, you're worried about something in your mind. It occupies you when you go to bed. It occupies you when you wake up in the morning. Sometimes it wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you worry and you fret. You worry, you worry, you worry. They even sell these stones. They're called worry stones. And you carry them in your pocket, and you rub it all day long to help you get over your worry. There's even people who advertise in the newspaper, pay me $500 a month, and I'll worry for you. And there's people who do it. There's people who pay $500 an hour to go and sit and talk to somebody about their worries and their concerns, and they're so scared about this and they're so scared about that. Many of you worry about your finances. You worry about the situation with Russia and Iraq and Iran. Brothers and sisters, may I encourage you this morning, we don't need to worry because Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Now, I'm not making light of your concerns and your worries in your heart because some of them are very valid concerns. But there's a gigantic difference between a concern and a worry. Very big difference. A concern is when you're thinking about it and asking God to help you with the situation. A worry is when you finally try to do it yourself and you're trying to connive and you're trying to think of things to do to solve the problem. And it keeps you up at night. It spoils your appetite. It spoils everything about you. You worry and you worry and you worry. I want you to turn the Bible to Luke chapter number 12 this morning with me. Luke chapter number 12, Jesus addresses this situation. Now, last week we talked about letting Jesus have complete control. We talked about letting Jesus do it because I can't do it. This morning, I want to encourage you, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about anything. Luke chapter number 12, we're going to be starting in verse number 22. But Luke chapter 12, verse number 22, before I begin, I have something I want someone to share with you this morning. as I was ready, getting prepared for this message this morning, this young lady texted me or emailed me. I said, Brother Brian, I'd like to get up in front of the church, and I would like to share what God's done in my life and how worry nearly consumed me. Miss Sherry, would you come and share with us this morning? Come over here. Stay down there. Okay.
Good morning. Many of you know that 5 years ago in February, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I've had chemo and everything. And so about 2 weeks ago, I went back for my yearly mammogram. And that afternoon, they called me back and said, we need you to come back in. We've seen something. First of all, I need to say I did have a mini meltdown at school. I was like walking around the school. Then I got mad at God. And I was like, okay, God, what is the deal? You know, I've prayed, I've quoted scriptures, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I was just like, I'm not going to worry about it. Well, I go home, and of course, all these visions are coming in my mind. Okay, if I have to do chemo, this is what we're going to have to do. If I have to do this, you know, over and over. And I was just like, God, what is the deal? I'm taking my chemo pill every day. I'm doing all this. I'm believing. How do I have something there in my breast again? And finally, God said, do you trust me? Do you really, really trust me? Do you trust me whether there's something there? Do you trust me whether there's not something there? And I said, I trust you, God. I made the decision that I'm going to trust God. Then when they tried to set up my appointment to go back, they don't. That was a Wednesday. They don't do those on Thursday. Friday, we were leaving to go on our cruise. So I had 2 weeks almost before I would go back to get checked. And throughout that time, God reminded me of a few things. One, faith is a decision. Faith is not feelings. It doesn't matter. I don't think God expects you not to be scared. He doesn't expect you to not have emotions. But he wants you to decide, are you going to trust him? Are you going to believe his word? Are you going to believe what he says? Or it's a decision. The devil still brings pictures to your mind. There's still things that come up. What do you do with what comes to your mind? What I did, you got to know your scripture. You know, by his stripes I'm healed. You know, nothing is impossible with God. You know, nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. You know, every time Satan brought a picture, he walks through me with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Every time a picture came to my mind of what might happen, is there something there? Quoted those scriptures. Quoted them. You've got to have his word in your heart and to know what to say back, to have that faith in your mind. My report came back. They couldn't find anything. And was there something there and God took it? Was there never something, anything there to start with? I don't know and I don't care, you know. Would I have trusted God if there had been something there? I hope so. You know, I believe I would because I'd made the decision. I'm standing on him, standing on what he's going to do in my life, you know. So I hope if you've got something, I pray that you've got something going on in your life, you'll make the decision to believe God, to trust God, that he loves you. I think that's the biggest thing that we forget. It's God loves us no matter what. And we've got to trust that love. So, God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Sherry. I don't think that was accidental that she emailed me this week, studying and preparing for this passage of Scripture. As I told you, I'm not here to make light of your concerns. Some of you have got some real life situations. Maybe you find yourself between a rock and a hard place. It seems like any way, any direction that you turn, it's no good way to turn. And you're scared. Like Sherry said, it's okay to be scared. We're human beings. But we don't have to live in the depths of worry that destroys everything about us. Brothers and sisters, God loves you. He loved you from the very moment you were conceived. He loved you even before you were conceived. He hasn't stopped loving you. Did he know these things were going to happen? Did he know that that loved one was going to die? Did he know that you were going to get sick? Of course he did. He's God. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Because he does care. And here in Luke chapter number 12, which we're going to look at this morning, Jesus is speaking to people who were scared. He is speaking to people who were worried. He is speaking to people just like you and I. Now, he's speaking to a group of people who had surrounded him. Every time Jesus went somewhere in this part of the book of Luke, especially, and we find the same story in the book of Mark, except for Luke goes a little bit deeper, a few more descriptions. But every time that Jesus was going now, he was always pressed about with people. People were always trying to get a piece of him, and they were trying to always see some miracle work. And they were worried and they were scared because the governmental situation, the Roman government was oppressing the Jewish people, and they worried because their religious leaders weren't leading them correctly, and they were worried because the mortality rate, if you lived to about 31 or 32, you were very fortunate. Children were dying of malnutrition, and people were daily being beaten in the streets because they were Jews and because they weren't Romans. And it was an everyday thing. Money wasn't abundant to these people. These people had very real concerns. Sicknesses and death. And so Jesus is speaking to them, and he's saying, listen, I don't want you to have to worry about what's going on now, because I have it under control. Here's what he says in Luke chapter number 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Now, he had spent just a few minutes before this talking about him. Hey, beware of the hypocrites. Beware of being jealous. Beware of being envious. Beware of these things. Understand them. Because guess what? Your circumstances change all the time physically. But your spiritual is the most important. Sherry, I'm glad you shared that with us this morning. Because your physical body and my physical body are going to break down. These old bodies that we occupy are going to fail us. Some of you are experiencing that at this very moment. You're hurting and you're aching. And you're groaning. And you can't wait to see heaven. And you can't wait to get that perfect body one day. So why are we so concerned with trying to keep our bodies up at a certain level? Trying to do something with our physical makeup and trying to do this and trying to do that. I think we ought to take care of our temples. And I think we ought to take care of our bodies the best we can. But spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on something that's going to fail eventually. Jesus is not saying that our bodies aren't important, but he's saying that our souls are vital and important. How many of you have ever worried yourself almost to death? You get up late at night and you wake yourself up and you're concerned and you're worried and you lose your sleep and you can't eat. And then it comes to pass that what you worried about never even took place. I remember 3 years ago waking up in the dead of night, scared to death. Worried about something that I did as a teenager, suddenly coming to light and getting arrested for it. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I'm going to confess to you this morning. I stole a bicycle tire. I went back to the house and made it right with the owners. But for some reason, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up scared to death. The police were going to come to my door and knock about that bicycle tire that I stole when I was 12 years old. Now, you say, that's ridiculous. Now, kids, John, I know he's going to hold this over my head now. You say, that's ridiculous. And I was scared. I woke up and I could not go back to sleep for the rest of the night, worried about the police coming to get me because of the bicycle tire. I had no need to worry. But it was Satan, that monster cawing around inside of my head, reminded me of all the negative, bad things that I ever done and worried about what's going to happen to me. I got a feeling. No, not a feeling. I know for certain there are people in this very room who are worried about something that's never going to come to pass. Your mind is occupied. A loved one, a friend, maybe yourself. And that's all you can think about. Look what Jesus said. He says, don't worry about physical things. He says, verse number 23, consider the ravens. Now, ravens were an unclean animal. He's speaking to a bunch of Jewish people. And he says, I want you to think about ravens. Now, first off, as soon as they hear the word raven, the only thing that comes to their mind is unclean. Unclean, because ravens ate dead bodies. And the Bible clearly taught in the Old Testament that if you eat a dead body, that you are unclean. And so these ravens are unclean animals. But look at the paradox he says here. He says, I want you to study and I want you to pay attention to the ravens, for they neither sow nor do they reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? He says, listen, these unclean animals, they don't have storehouses. They don't have barns. They're unclean and they're nasty. Yet God takes care of them. You don't see a raven worried. You don't see a raven going to see a psychotherapist. You don't see a raven paying millions of dollars to take care of his outside body. No, he just copes day by day. You say, now, wait a minute, Brother Brian, that's a little ridiculous. No. Jesus says, he doesn't worry where his next meal's coming from. Why? Because his Creator provides it for him. Brothers and sisters, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Is God your Savior? If he is, then why are you worrying? Why are you so concerned? Why are you waking up in the middle of the night? Why are you fretting over things that really don't matter? What you're essentially doing is telling God, God, you're not capable of taking care of me. God, you're not capable of taking care of this situation. I can, but you can't. That's what you're saying. He says, look at the ravens. They don't worry about where they're going to eat because God provides for them. Now, I'm not discounting your concerns. They're real. They are real. But I want to tell you this. Let God take care of the issue. He takes care of the ravens. Won't he take care of you? Look at the next verse he says. He says now, and which of you, verse 25, which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? How many of you remember Andy Griffith and Barney hanging upside down to get himself taller? Okay, some of you, what? Barney had to meet a certain specification to continue to be a deputy. And so what he did is he devised a method of putting his boots upside down in the closet, and he went and hung himself upside down from his boots to try to lengthen himself to meet the qualifications. Now, it's ridiculous, and we laugh. Andy Griffith won the quality shows nowadays. And we laugh about that. But some of you are concerned about little things like that, and it worries you to death. You're worried about this. Is that a spot on my hand? Oh, no, it's changing color. Oh, no, my gland is swollen. Oh, no, my nose hurts. I need to get on WebMD. If you're not feeling good, don't get on WebMD. they will give you the diagnosis that you're going to die in the next 2 minutes. Some of you have been there, I can tell. Brothers and sisters, every minute that we worry takes us away from worshiping God. I can very well die today. If I do, my wife is a very rich woman. Don't get any ideas, sweetheart. But guess what? If I die today, I'm going to a much better place than Bryson City, North Carolina. Am I ready to die? No, I love it here. I love my children. I love my wife. I love you. I'm not ready to go. But if I die, I know that my soul will go to be in the presence of God instantly. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Am I concerned about physical aspects? Of course I am. But the more I worry about them and the more I'm concerned about them, the less I think about God, the less I think about others. What is occupying your mind? And that's what Jesus is trying to get these people to understand. Quit worrying about your physical aspect. Quit worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Spend more time worshiping God. Spend more time looking for ways to praise Him. Let me help you out with something. You want to get a blessing? Every time you start to worry about something, think of a praise. I'm worried about that spot on my hand. Well, thank you, God, that I got a hand. I'm worried about that engine, that sound that's making in my car. I can't understand it. Well, thank God you got a car. I'm worried about, you know what, my clothes. They just don't fit the way they used to. For some reason, when they get in the closet, they shrink, and I understand that. Thank God that you've got clothes. I've got people come over to my house, and my kids have got toys all over the place, and my rooms are a mess, and I just worried about that. Well, thank God you got kids, and they got toys. You know that shingle that rattles at night at your house and just makes that strange noise, and you're worried about it, and you can't find it? Thank God you got a house that makes noises. See? When you start to worry and you start to get concerned about, instead of spending time worrying about it, spend time thanking God that you've got something. And you say, Brother Brian, it's easy for you to say. Yes, it is. But I'm made out of the same mud you're made out of. I've got a brand new teenager in my home. And all the parents said, and then I got another one in December. And then I got one that's acting like a teenager already. Yes, I'm concerned. Yes, I'm worried about things at times. But I need not be, because my Savior tells me not to. Look what else he says here. Verse number 27. He says, consider the lilies, the beautiful little flowers. He says, how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. They don't dress themselves. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O ye of little faith. He says, look at the flowers. Who created them? Of course, our answer is God. Who's the one that makes them grow? Of course, God does. Who is the one that gives them that color? God is. Don't you think God cares much more about you than he does about the fields of flowers? And the birds of the air? God knows everything about you. And it's a sin to worry about something that you cannot take care of yourself. It's a sin. Because it's taking your attention away from God and placing it back on yourself. Well, I can't handle that, Brother Brian. I got this and I got to do this. No. Let God be God. It's a sin to worry. Because that means you're not trusting God. That's what he's saying here. Let me ask you a question. Everybody look up here just for a moment if you would. I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud, but how many of you have a genuine concern in your life right now? Raise your hand. Verging on worry. Come on now, lift your hand up. I want everybody to see that they're not alone. I don't need to know what they are. And nobody else needs to know what they are necessarily, but God knows about it and he cares about it. Look at me now. You can nod your heads. Does it occupy your mind a lot of the time? Do you wake up with it in the morning? Go to bed with it at night? Does it prevent you from getting a good meal? Does it prevent you from fellowshipping with fellow believers? Does it prevent you from loving your spouse the way they need to be loved or loving your children the way they need to be loved? Does it prevent you from enjoying your hobbies and your habits? Does it prevent you from enjoying the life that God has given to you? If you checked yes in any one of those blocks, may I tell you, that is a sin and it's taking away from what God intends for your life. Now you say, now wait a minute, Brother Brian, you're stepping on my toes. That hurts. May I tell you that I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to you. But it's God's word preaching to me, not me preaching to me. Look what else he says here. This is the words of Jesus, not me. He says, verse number 29, and seek not what you shall eat and what you shall drink, neither be you of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Underline this in your Bibles right here. Here it is. Here's a key. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. God knows. God knows. How many of you, when you were growing up, you realized and understood that mama knew everything? You couldn't get away with anything, could you? It seems like mama had eyes in the back, just like teacher eyes, in the back of their heads. Amen, teachers? You can see everything, can't you? It seems like you do. Did you know that God knows everything and he knows exactly what you need when you need it? So why are you worrying about it? Because that's what my mama used to do, and that's what my grandma used to do, and that's what her grandma used to do. I remember hearing tales of grandma and grandpa worrying about things all the time, sitting on their porch rocking. They wore a groove in their porch rocking back and forth, worried. Let's break the cycle today. Let's break that cycle. Stop worrying. And you see, Brother Brian, so he means I just need to lay at my house with my hands behind my head and just lay there, and everything's going to be brought to me on a silver platter. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Woo-hoo! No, I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. The ravens still had to go and find the food. They trusted God to provide it. Did you know that God gives you the strength to deal with the issues of life and the wisdom and understanding how to do it? Look what else he says here in verse number 31. Here's the key. Instead of worrying about all these things, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I went back and forth all week long with this, battling back and forth, because I know it was a battle from Satan trying to discount what I was going to preach this morning. Not really what I was preaching, but what the Word of God was saying this morning. Because some of you have got some real concerns. I mean, you've got some issues that are life-threatening. And I'm scared. And now here I am standing up on the platform. Let me get down on the floor with you. Let you know that I'm with you. And here I am standing in front of you telling you not to worry, and it's a sin to worry. And you're sitting there thinking, blah, 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 blah. You don't know what you're talking about. May I tell you, I don't know the solution to your worry and your problem, but God Almighty Himself does. You don't know the solution to the things that I'm concerned about and I'm worried about, but God Almighty Himself does. He promises if I seek Him first. He promises if I do it His way. He promises if I trust Him. He promises that if I'll simply obey what His Word clearly teaches me to do, that He will take care of even the smallest little things. In His timing, in His way, in His will. It may mean that I'll physically be whole one day in heaven. It may mean that my physical body will fail and cancer will take me or an aneurysm will bust in my brain. It may mean that I might physically die, but my soul will never die. Brothers and sisters, we get so concerned and worried about things that do not matter that we lose focus on the one that does matter and can handle the situation. But Brother Brian, what if it doesn't come out the way I need it to? What if it doesn't come out the way I want it to? I'll promise you this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what His Word says. So either God is a liar or He's telling the truth. My heart breaks for you because I know your concerns are real. I know they hurt. And I know that you can't do nothing about them. Can I help you break the bondage this morning of worry? And say, God, you got to handle it. I cannot do it anymore. Because unless you do, you're going to continue in the same cycle. And you're never going to get past it. And you're never going to be able to worship God like you want to worship Him. You're never going to be able to be that person that God wants you to be. Because guess what, brothers and sisters? We're not left here on earth to worry. We are left on earth to tell others about the God who can take care of their worries. I'm not making light of any of your concerns. But I'm telling you right now, you keep worrying about them, it's going to kill you. You keep worrying about them, it's going to ruin your marriage. You keep worrying about them, it's going to destroy your family. You keep worrying about them, you're not going to be fit to do anything. Two words. I surrender. We're going to have an altar call this morning. And I'm going to invite you to come bring your worries right up here. Oh, Brother Brian, I'm embarrassed because people might think bad about me. You know what? Honestly, everybody in this room has something to worry about. Everybody. I'm going to invite you to come to this old-fashioned altar. And I'm going to invite you to come and physically lay down these worries. You get up here and you emotionally say, God, you take care of this. I can't do it no more. Let God have it. He's a big God. He can handle it. Well, that's just silly superstition. No. It's biblical truth that I just gave you. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. Who provides for them? God. So if He takes care of them, don't you think He'll take care of you? Worth much more than they are. God loves you. hadn't stopped loving you. And guess what? He'll never stop loving you. Ever. I know you're hurting. But so does he. And I care. But he cares so much more. Let him be God today. Let him be God. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to invite you to come, even right now. Just come. If you come, somebody will come with you because they got the same burdens you do. Just go ahead and start coming right now. Get around an old-fashioned altar and say, oh, God, you've got to have it. You've got to do it, God. I can't do it no more. Come on. There you go. Just come on. Just give it to God. God knows what's going on. Come lay it down. You are loved here. People care about you. God loves you. We're just going to have Miss Shirley, if you'll just play for us this morning. And we won't have any singing this morning. Just Miss Shirley, just play. God knows you're hurting, and he cares. Come rest upon his promise this morning. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. God, I stand before you an imperfect man. But Lord, I'm trusting your word this morning. I know there's going to be times that I'm going to take it back and I'm going to try to work and fix it myself. But God, this morning I want to give you my worries. I'm tired of fighting the battle myself. Please, God, forgive me for worrying. Help me to trust you and do what your word clearly tells me to do. In Jesus' precious name. Won't you come this morning?